Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. This is Vince Bonfiglio, your host. It's Monday, September the 8th. And as the racing world gets set for playoff season, both the NHRA and the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series begin their quest this coming weekend. And I'd like to bring to the show my very special guest, NHRA funny car driver, Alexis DeJoria. And Alexis, coming off a big win against John Force at the U.S. Nationals. How much fun was that?
Oh, it was an incredible day. Just the whole event. You know, there were three races happening all at the same time. There was the finals from Brainerd, and then the Traxxas shootout, which we were a part of as well, and then the actual Indianapolis race, the 60th anniversary of the Indianapolis race. So just an exciting weekend, but to come away with the win and in such a dramatic fashion as we did, it was incredible.
It must have been. I mean, you've had a pretty good season so far. You've got three wins and quite a few final round runs for runner-up. And, of course, all your wins came against the top of the heap with again, two versus Rob Hite and one against John Force.
Yep. You got to beat the best to be the best. So each round gets more difficult. But yeah, really proud of my team. They've done such a great job this year. It's been just a turnaround year for our whole organization, I think, you know, in general.
I know it seems like last season you were struggling a lot, and it was like night and day. And this season, it came off with a bang. It just seems like your team found something, and now you're seeded fourth for the countdown, and of course, gaining every spot helps going into ZMAX this coming weekend for the first round of the countdown. So it makes your championship hopes that much stronger.
Yeah, I mean, it really does. And the last couple years, we were just trying to find a good tune-up, you know, that would be consistent enough to get us down the track and start winning rounds and eventually winning races. So that all just really came together at the beginning of this year. And a little bit towards the end of last season as well is when we first started to see it. But there were just a lot of changes that had been made to the race car in the last 2 years. And just takes time for those changes to kind of pan out. So, and that's exactly what's happened this year. So we're doing really good. Yeah, I mean, we're in the hunt for the championship right now, which is also our first time. And on the other seasons, we've been on the outside looking in, and we're just hoping to, you know, crack into the top 10. So to start off the championship hunt right now in the number four position feels pretty awesome.
It should. I mean, because with the way you've been running this year, it was inevitable that you were going to get in, just a matter of spots. You've had a shot at the 100th female win, and just missed out on that. Of course, your competition in that category went to Courtney Force on that weekend, but you two are friends, so it's a little bittersweet. It's good to see a friend win, but it probably would have been nicer if you took home the trophy.
I mean, we're very competitive ladies out there. There's just a handful of us, but we're all very competitive and very good. You know, there's a lot of strong teams, and we're one of them. So yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, we didn't get the 100th win, but, you know, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, Courtney got it, and it's just fine. If, you know, even if Erica would have gotten it, or Leah or Brittany, it really doesn't matter. I mean, in the scheme of things, you know, it's just a thing we can all celebrate together that, you know, we're a part of it.
And that's always a good thing to do. And at least now going into the first round of the countdown at ZMAX, you finished runner-up there in the four wides. So you pretty much know what you have going in. Is the track going to be any different being it's in September rather than in the heat of the summer like it was for the four wides? Or
the conditions are going to be better. The setup's going to be better because it's just two lanes versus four. It's going to be a better race all the way around for us, in this lineup. So I'm really excited to go back there. Tommy and Glenn have had really good luck at that racetrack. They've ran record numbers with, when he was tuning for Matt Hagan, that was, I think, where they ran the first 3-second run. The conditions can be very cool at night, and, this is the time to do it, so.
Would you be happy with, I guess, I'm sure you'd be happy with a 3-second one to kick off the qualifying? Getting those bonus points should help a lot, especially when it comes to heading towards elimination, anything you can get.
Oh, yeah. So. I mean, every point counts at this time. And, qualifying, every time you go up there, you want to be one of the top three of the round because you get points for every one of them. So that's really great. If you can be, the number one out there every time in qualifying all four rounds, that's, 3 points each before the race has even started, So if you can get that plus the round wins, you'll be accumulating a lot of good points.
I was just looking at the seating and how it's set. It seems like the only gap is between first and second, where there's a 30-point difference. And then it goes 10 points from there on back. So,
right.
Getting that 12 points for the kickoff definitely would make a big jump. And I guess it all depends on who you line up with. Any particular thing that you can do at the tree to hopefully, not that you want to tell me what you're going to do, but maybe a yes or no.
Well, it's pretty simple. I mean, qualifying, you want to stage really shallow so you get the best possible run, the quickest runs. But come race day, it's a different story. It's not about ET necessarily. It's about getting to the finish line first. So any way you can do that, that's the way you want to go.
I guess the main thing is reaction time. That's something that you constantly work on. So as soon as that gets the As soon as that yellow light hits, you can jump on the throttle.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you want to practice not only, while you're there, but at home. If you have a practice tree at home, it helps as well. Sometimes it's just about being right in that mode. You just want to be in the zone and be clear-headed and make, perfect actions at every moment.
Is Jesse going to be out there rooting you on this time, or is he still
working on the
other car?
Oh no, he's always out there at the track. He hasn't missed a race, so he's my good luck charm for sure. And the guys really lean on him right now too to help out. And he's just been a tremendous asset to the team, and everybody absolutely loves him.
Well, that's good. At least you have that support there, and.
Yeah, it's nice thing to have.
Yeah. Erica, she's got her husband running now, and now she has to race him as well as the other competitors.
Which I guess would make it fun. Well, hopefully he can be a blocker for her, and then she can solidify her championship, sweep. So that'll be awesome to see that happen.
Well, that'd be good if we can get female champions this year. You with the funny car and Erica with Pro Stock, and you've run every race. She took a couple weeks off, and I think it hurt her in the standings because she was at the top, and now she's in second place. So I don't understand that line of thinking. I would think you would want to run every event and just keep the momentum going.
They made certain decisions for whatever reason. I'm not exactly sure, but I think she'll do really well. I think she'll do real well. Her team has just been on a tear all year.
Yeah, I had her on a couple weeks ago after you know, right before she came back on and said they just did it to work on some things. But sometimes if it's not broke, you don't go try and fix it. It's, and I think that might have been what happened. But at least with you, you have this hot streak going in from the run that you had to finish up from Brainerd, then going in through Indy. So you got a lot of official rounds in this weekend as well. So I guess kind of helped going all the way up into to take the Wally in the U.S. Nationals.
Well, it definitely does to kick off the championship countdown. But we'll see. I mean, anything could happen. Just one race at a time, one foot in front of the other, so to speak. So just hope for the best. You know, we've got a ways to go.
Well, you got a good starting point. If you can't be at the top, you're pretty close to it to kick it off. So that's about as good as it can get right now. And you're doing your sponsor proud, the Patron Cafe XO. Might as well give them a plug out there, right?
Yes, and Toyota as well. They've just done a tremendous job supporting our team. They have their TRD guys out there, their Toyota guys helping us with all their technical stuff at every race. I mean, they give us all the numbers, and it's helped out a lot. So they've been an incredible support system for us.
I guess the only thing you could hope for to make any more horsepower out of that is a nice cool weekend, and the low ET should come from there.
Mm-hmm.
How is the car set up as far as you go? Is there anything they have to do different other than tune the motor or to do any chassis work to put it down the track?
You know, we front half the car before Indy, so I think that's pretty much it for now. We only have 6 more races till the end of the season, so I think we should be fine with that. But as far as the tune-up goes, that's completely in the crew's hands, the crew chiefs, and, you know, I'm just the shoe. So whatever they give me, that's what I'm taking down the racetrack.
Well, let's hope it's a replay of what happened at Indy, so you can kick off the championship run with the a good qualifying round and taking home the Wally can get you that much closer.
Yeah,
so these
races
are going to go by quick.
Really awesome. It is. It's going to go by really quick. And, yeah, so just want to enjoy the ride. You know, every time we get down that racetrack consistently, it's a good deal. So hope for the best.
Well, we here at Garage Talk Live wish you the best, and thank you for coming on. We'll let you get back to doing what you were doing, enjoying maybe the rest of this week before you have to head down to Charlotte. And hopefully we'll get you back. You'll come back on when you're crowned the funny car champion.
Well, thank you very much for that.
All right. You take care and have fun this week. We'll be pulling for you from here.
All right. Thanks a lot, Vince.
All right. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There you have Alexis DeGioia, driver of the Patron Cafe XO funny car. That's right. They only don't just make tequila. They make a liqueur as well. But if you like a mighty fine tequila, go out and get Patron. And we wish Alexis well. She's had a good season. And it's great to have her on, getting ready for the championship run. Of course, the countdown, as they call it in the NHRA, is a 6-race venture starting off at the ZMAX Raceway. And as they're set up to run in the top fuel division, the top 10 drivers running that are in order of the... How they run is Doug Kalita, Antron Brown, a second, Sean Langdon, who's the defending champ from last year. He's third. Tony Schumacher was fourth. Steve Torrence is fifth. Spencer Massey is sixth. Khalid Al-Balushi is seventh. Eighth is Richard Crampton. Ninth, Brittany Force made the countdown. And 10th is J.R. Todd in the funny car division. The guy she beat last week, John Force, is in the number one spot. And then 30 back of him is Robert Height, who had the points lead up until recently when John Force had battled back from second place with a couple of outstanding runs and a Wally Trophy. He also won the Traxxas Nitro shootout in the funny car division. And John, that is. And so he had a good run. He went up against Alexis DeJoria in the finals, and she beat him. That's her third win against John Force Racing in the finals. Of course, her first appearance on the show was back when she beat Rob Height. And Rob Height was on right after she was, and he won the next week out. But Rob Height in second. Ron Capps sitting in the third spot. Alexis, like I said, was in the fourth spot. Tommy Johnson Jr. is fifth. Courtney Force was sixth. Matt Hagen, seventh. Cruz Pedregon is eighth. Del Worsham in ninth. And Tim Wilkinson round out the countdown challengers in the funny car division. In the pro stock division is Jason Lyon, who happened to get ahead of Erica Ender Stevens in the last few weeks. Erica, a couple weeks off in the schedule while leading in the points. Had a couple bad weeks when she came back and was wound up in second. Alan Johnson, third. Jeg Coughlin, fourth. Dave Connolly, fifth. Shane Gray, sixth. Vincent Nobile, seventh. Eighth is V. Gaines. Ninth, Chris McGahey. And tenth, Jonathan Gray. So that is your top ten in the Pro Stock car division. And in Pro Stock motorcycle, it's Andrew Hines, Eddie Krawick, two Harley riders, one and two. Hector Arana Jr., Hector Arana Sr., father and son there. In the Buells, third and fourth, John Hall, Matt Smith, Michael Ray Jr. in seventh, eighth, Scott Polachek, ninth, Angie Smith, who's Matt Smith's wife, and 10th is Steve Johnson. That's your top 10 NHRA motorcycle qualifiers. As far as the schedule, we have the countdown Z-Max this coming weekend, September 12th, which is Friday through the 14th, which is Sunday's eliminations. The week after that, they go to the Texas Motorplex in Dallas. The 26th of September, it's out to Gateway Motorsports Park in St. Louis. Then October 2nd through 5th, Maple Grove Raceway in Reading, PA. And then head out west for the Toyota Nationals at the strip at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. And then it's all wrapped up in the Auto Club Finals on November the 13th through the 16th at the Auto Club Raceway in Pomona. So share of the NHRA schedule and the wrap down. So we look forward to Alexis having a good run there. In the Nationwide Series, it turned out to be one of those deals where it wasn't that enjoyable of a race to watch. Kyle Busch led flag to flag, qualifying on the pole and leading all 250 laps of the Virginia 529 College Savings 250. Nobody else got past him, whether it was pit stops or otherwise. It was Kyle Busch day. I think if he could have that kind of luck in the Cup Series, he'd be the number one seed. But he is the winningest nationwide series driver. Of course, NASCAR announcing a deal this week. Next year, the nationwide series will no longer be. They'll be calling it the NASCAR Xfinity Series, signing a 10-year deal with Comcast, with Xfinity as the series sponsor. Nationwide has increased their sponsorship with Dale Earnhardt Jr., so instead of going from a series sponsor, they're sticking to the one car, and Comcast stepping in with the Xfinity Series. So everybody's got to learn something new from calling from Nationwide all these years. I know it took me a couple of years. It took me a few shows to go from the old Busch Series to getting used to calling it the Nationwide Series, but now I have to call it the Xfinity Series. But as for right now, it's still the Nationwide Series. Chase Elliott did come in second. He got all the points except for the first place ones, because he came in second and didn't lead any laps. He's trying to maintain a points lead over his teammate, Reagan Smith, who's still steadily in the hunt. We'll get to that in a little bit. Kevin Harvick was third. Ryan Blaney wound up fourth, who started outside the front row next to Kyle Busch. Fifth was Brian Scott. Reagan Smith did come home sixth. Dakota Armstrong, seventh. Eighth, Elliott Sadler. Ninth, Ty Dillon. Chris Buescher was tenth. The race took 2 hours, 1 minute and 11 seconds. The average speed, 92.83 miles an hour. Margin of victory, 1.3 seconds. It was not one of those races that had any close finish. There was only six cautions for 38 laps, and like I said before, no lead changes. You would think somebody would have been able to gamble on tires or something and get out of the pits early and maybe lead a lap or two, but that wasn't the case. As we're looking at the points now, it's Chase Elliott with a 19-point lead over teammate Reagan Smith. Ty Dillon is 42 back. He's in third. Elliott Sadler is 54 back in fourth. Brian Scott, fifth, 57 back. Sixth is Trevor Bayne. He's 84 back. Seventh, Chris Buescher, 169 back. Brendan Gaughan in eighth place. He is 296 back. Ninth, Ryan Reed, the rookie, driving for Roush Fenway. He is 230 back. And James Buescher rounds out the top 10 in points. He's 245 back. As we look at the nationwide schedule, we kick off in Chicago next week. Eight races to go there. And then from Chicagoland, they'll go to Kentucky. And then 2 weeks, they'll go to the Monster Mile in Dover. Then Kansas, Charlotte, Texas, Phoenix, and then Homestead. All the series will finish up on Homestead for Ford Weekend. So that's how the Nationwide Series stacks up. In Richmond this time, it turned out to be a little bit different. Brad Keselowski wound up taking the checkered flag, led three times for 383 laps of the scheduled 400, which there was no overtime. He had almost as dominating a run as Kyle Busch did on Friday night, but Jeff Gordon did lead. Kevin Harvick did lead twice for 17 laps, and that was the only smudge on the record for Brad Kay. The Miller Lite Ford looking rather stout, taking 48 points, including the 5 bonus points, for leading the most laps and getting the 3 points for the win and the 1 point for leading the lap, making him the first 4-race winner and giving him the top seed in the race. In the chase, I should say. He had a serious bounce back from last year, which was not making the chase. He had one shot to do it in Richmond, didn't get it done, and was on the outside looking in for that, the letdown after winning a championship. The race took 2 hours, 51 minutes, and 55 seconds. The average speed was 104.7 mile an hour. Margin of victory was 0.797. Of course, Jeff Gordon did wind up finished second. He was pretty much chasing Brad Keselowski for a while at the end. Clint Bowyer faded to the third spot, ending his chase hopes. Jamie McGlary, who needed a win, finished fourth. So he's on the outside looking in. Fifth was Kevin Harvick, who wanted to get that extra win in there, too. Joey Logano was sixth, Kurt Busch seventh, Jimmy Johnson eighth, taken to the hospital for dehydration after the race. Ryan Newman was ninth, Eric Amarola was tenth. Dale Earnhardt Jr., who was up front for a little while, finished 12th. And all you Danica fans, she finished 16th after a 13th place starting spot and also the last car on the lead lap. The seeding as it goes for the chase, we'll have that down going by race winners. Brad Keselowski, the only one with 4. He leads Jeff Gordon, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Jimmy Johnson, and Joey Logano, who all have 3. Kevin Harvick has 2. Carl Edwards has 2. Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, Kurt Busch, Casey Kane, Eric Amarola, and A.J. Allmendinger all have 1 race win apiece. That's 13, and that leaves Matt Kenseth, Greg Biffle, and Ryan Newman, the only qualify on points. They will be on the bottom looking in. Of course, the way the grid works, there's a chase grid that we'll get to a little later before we preview Chicagoland, because our guest will be joining us shortly, Miss Juliana White. She'll be, and then we'll get into our Chicagoland picks and we'll bring up the grid, and it's kind of like March Madness pool. You have your 16. So whoever wins the next 3 races is automatically moves on, and then the bottom 4 after race 3 get eliminated. Then they'll go 3 more races in which 4 more drivers will be eliminated. And then 3 more races in which another 4 will be eliminated. And then going into Homestead, the 4 will compete for the championship. So I don't know how that's going to reset the points. Maybe Miss Sprint Cup could give us a clue on how that's done. Right now,
hello?
I'd like to welcome to the show, welcome to Garage Talk Live, rookie Miss Sprint Cup, Juliana White. Hi,
how
welcome
are
to
you?
Garage Talk Live, Juliana. Oh, I'm
oh
doing
my gosh,
fine.
I hear you're talking about the chase grid and everything.
Yeah, I was going to get into that, and I got to bring up the chart and all that. We can get into that, but I got a few things I want to talk to you about first.
Of course.
Looking at your bio, said you worked for QVC. Did you know any of the other hosts while you were at QVC?
Oh, my gosh, yes. That's where I worked. I worked full-time through college, so I was there for about 7 years. And worked full time outside of it. So yeah, I was, my life was in the home shopping world.
Did you know Bob Rayner?
No. Is he QVC or HSN?
QVC. Well, here, let me blow you. Go ahead.
Oh, I didn't work a lot with the male host, honestly. I was doing jewelry and clothing, mostly with the female ones.
The reason why I'm asking, I'm going to blow your mind a little bit. You and I are kind of homies. Okay. You're from Haddon Township, New Jersey, and I'm from Washington Township, Gloucester County, New Jersey.
Are you kidding me? So
nope.
You're from, like, the South Jersey one. Oh, my goodness. My
best
friend is from there.
Yeah, we're about 10 miles away.
That is too funny. It's always nice to meet another fellow Jersey person in the industry.
Now, did you get to go to a lot of races throughout the years, or did you just happen upon signing up to become a Miss Sprint Cup looking for, I guess, a change of scenery?
You know, obviously this is a little bit of a change in scenery coming from QVC. You know, I come from a very large family, so a lot of my uncles were huge NASCAR fans. So I've always watched, and I've always kind of had an interest in it, but I had only been to one race in Dover before. And so when I applied for this job, I'm still learning every single day that I am Miss Sprint Cup. So it's obviously still a bit of a learning curve for me in the world, but it's not like I had never watched it before.
So I was wondering if you ever got a chance to go to either Dover or Pocono while you were growing up, that type of thing, you know.
Yeah, I had been to Dover, and now that I know the Pocono Raceway is pretty much the same amount of time away from my hometown, I am trying to just claim them both because I liked them both so much.
Well, when I got the bio, I was like, no crap, Haddon Township. I gotta play blow our minds on this one because I did this show out of a little local station in New Jersey called WNJC for about 11 years. You know?
Oh, wow.
And
you're funny.
Just to find out that a local girl makes you big.
Yeah, and my hometown has been, you know, they put me in the retrospect, a couple of the local restaurants and stuff. Put our pictures like in the restaurants on the walls. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is pretty cool going back home and seeing that people embraced it so much.
I know. I saw you did some stuff with Miss Universe. Were you one of the pageantees, like following Miss Sprint Cup Brooke, who was a Miss Vermont? Were you a Miss New Jersey USA?
Yes, in 2011, I was Miss New Jersey and went to Miss USA, and it was kind of, I was a little bit out of my element as a pageant girl, but it was so much fun getting all of that experience and getting to meet all of the girls and travel. So yeah, I had a great experience in the couple pageants that I did.
Well, that's good. So now you're in Miss Sprint Cup, getting to travel the NASCAR circuit. Seen some of your posts from the Miss Sprint Cup page, of course, on Facebook, and when I found out you were from the neck of the woods there, I was like, oh, cool, just having somebody that's so close gets to be one of the Miss Sprint Cup girls. And up until you called in, I've had every Miss Sprint Cup on the show. It's kind of like my legacy. I make sure I have to have every Miss Sprint Cup on, and now that you're the latest Miss Sprint Cup and you're on, so I've had everybody.
Well, good. You can add me to your list.
I'll have to add you, friend you on Facebook too, if you have your own page as well. This way, if you need any tips or anything, you can always hit me up, and I've been covering the sport a while. Haven't been to the track in a bit, but it's a whole new experience for you going from race to race and doing all that stuff in the sprint experience.
I've never been to any of these places in general, let alone the speedways and the raceways. And so traveling for me has just been an incredible experience because even when I walked into Bristol for the first time, my jaw was on the floor because all the tracks are all different and have their own histories and their own unique little things about them. So I've just been having a blast exploring and learning about everything in the sport.
Yeah, that's one of the main things you have to do, and especially out at the Sprint Experience Draw and getting the fan participation there with some of the games they play, like the hula hoop game or the
yeah.
The
have you been to the Sprint Experience before?
No, every time I go to a track, I try to stop in and touch base with the Miss Sprint Cups. And last time I was out was at Richmond a few years back, and Kim was out there, and Brooke Horner, who you replaced, was out there, and I did get to check it out, and we got a whole bunch of nice stuff there. And every time I have a Miss Sprint Cup on, there's always new plans and products and things like that.
I know. We've had a lot of changes. So it's the first year with this new grid, and we also have tons of new plans with Sprint, too. So it's been an exciting, busy time for us.
Yeah, did you know what you were getting yourself into when you signed up for it, let alone get chose? How was that experience?
Oh, my gosh. No, number one, I did not know what I was getting myself into. It's the job of Miss Sprint Cup, you know, we're most visible in Victory Lane, and that's always exciting, getting a chance to celebrate with the winning team and be in on the excitement and see the drivers get out of their cars. But all weekend long, we are going nonstop, whether it be at the Sprint Experience where we're co-emceeing and, you know, telling everyone our
hello
for family opportunity. Sprint side of game.
You're breaking up a bit.
Oh.
Are you on the move?
I am not.
Okay.
Am I good?
Yeah, there we go.
It's great.
That's right. It happens. That's, you know, with all the cell technology out there, there's always that time where something always happens, whether you break up, lose a little bit of signal. And like I don't, like where I'm at in the middle of nowhere, I expect it to happen, but you know, it's just a matter of just changing rooms in the house sometimes.
I've been talking too much on my phone, I think. We've been going nonstop getting ready for the chase, and this is my third radio call today, and we've just been going nonstop getting our schedules and everything, so, oh my gosh, my phone's probably tired of me.
Either that or the battery's low. You better plug that bad boy in.
I'm pretty good right now. I'm at 40%.
Are you an iPhone person or an Android person?
I'm an iPhone person, and I'm afraid to get a new one just because I've become so attached to it. But one of the perks of being the Sprint Cup is we get to try all of the new phones that come out and correlation with the Sprint plans, and so now I like kind of want a different phone, but it's, you know, I've always been an iPhone girl.
The only thing that gets me about the iPhone, and because they only come in 8-bit, 16-bit, and 32-bit, where the Android, you could put in the memory card, and you could put in like a 64 gig card in there. I mean gig, and use all that kind of storage. And as you get the different gig phone for the iPhone, it costs you a lot more. Where with an Android, like I got the Galaxy S4 Mini, and I have a 32 gig card in there.
Whoa!
So I could just take that out and pop in a bigger one if I run out of room.
Oh my goodness! I know. I hate change when it comes to things that I've been so attached to, whether it be my computer or my phone or technology. Sometimes I like to stay with what I know.
Even a young girl like you.
Oh my goodness, I have so many other things that I need to keep up with. I try to learn all of the new things about all the phones, and they all have amazing features, but I'm just like, I'll stick with mine.
I know. Now with as a Miss Sprint Cup, you got to keep up with the Facebook page, Instagram, Twitter.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
plus
one of the really great things. I'm sorry?
I said, plus all your personal pages.
Yeah, you know, it's nice because we all have access to the Miss Sprint Cup ones, so we get to respond or reply to fans, which is always fun for me to do. But one of our main goals as Miss Sprint Cup is to bring all the fans the best coverage that we can, whether it be in the garages, getting ready for practices or qualifying or the actual race. We try to get as close as we possibly can just so you guys can feel like you're in the garages with us. And we try to get just the best coverage. So our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages are always just going nonstop on race weekends, getting all of the fans inside access.
And as far as plans go, I know when earlier it was the family plan. Is there anything new that they're just coming out with? I think I saw a commercial for something.
It's all new. We have a brand new family plan. Bill, you can have up to 10 people on your plan, but now it's just a flat fee of $100 a month for unlimited talk, unlimited text, and 20 gigabytes of data to share. So when you compare it to all of the other networks, data-wise and price-wise, it blows everyone out of the water. It's, you know, when we got the plan, I was like, is this all it is? There's no hidden fees or anything, but it's $100 a month, which is incredible. So
that's for $100 a month, and that's four people?
You can have up to 10 people. So if you have 10 people on your plan, you can be paying as low as $10 a month per line.
Oh, okay. I see how that works. That is pretty cheap, but then you got to split up the data a little bit, and it kind of comes out to about a half a gig. But with Wi-Fi capabilities on these phones, who uses the data that much anyway? They're always tapped into somebody's
Wi-Fi. Exactly. There's always ways to cut it down, and there are also other ways to get additional data for your personal plan. So there's always ways to add the data, but that price for 20 gigs – is pretty awesome.
Yeah, and everybody gets their own bill. That's the other thing, right?
With this one, it's one bill.
Oh, okay.
But you can have friends, family, still the same exact thing. You can have really anyone in your plan.
Well, then that's not too bad, then.
That's
cheap. To have up to 10, saying to get everybody to chip in, and it's, you know.
I mean, with that, if you're trying to find $10 from 10 different people, I think people can probably fork up that much money.
Yeah, that's for sure. I see, like, every time it's either a new phone, a new plan, but it's always good having a Miss Sprint Cup explain it. Now to get to the chase, 16 drivers.
I know.
And three races to make or break a season, and then the first elimination race is Dover, our home track.
I know. Dover is going to be exciting. All of my friends and family are going to be there, and it's one of the biggest races going into this whole final stretch of the season. You know, it's crazy for me being a rookie in the sport and having this whole new playoff kind of scenario and, you know, trying to learn about it, and everyone is just getting excited. You know, everyone is hesitant for change, but I think this is going to make – it's going to keep all the teams on their toes and all of the fans kind of really rallying behind their favorite drivers.
I know, because, well, you know, it's got to, they have to keep it interesting and make the chase different, because with Jimmy Johnson winning – 5 in a row, 6 out of the last 12. You know, everybody's like saying, well, they've got to see if they can do something to shake them loose. So that's then Brad Keselowski won it 2 years ago. And everybody thought he was going to come close to repeating because he had such a good year. But then he won it in a Dodge, and Penske went from Dodge to Ford, so they needed another year to learn a new car.
And I think he's gotten the hang of it this year.
I think him and Logano. It's an amazing how a two-car team like that can turn that around, winning 7 of 26 races. Mm-hmm. And yet Roush Fenway, who's been they all get Yates Motors. So, and Roush Fenway, who's been with Ford since before you were born – As Carl Edwards is their lone standard bearer. And, of course, Eric Amarola, who drives for Richard Petty, and they share all, you know, it's all Ford stuff, so they share all that kind of, they're affiliated there. But as far as dominance goes, it's just amazing to see the Penske Fords and, of course, the Hendrick Chevys, all with three
wins
apiece.
I was just going to say, I think we're going to see a showdown between Penske and the Hendrick teams. I mean, they've all been dominating, of course, but I have no idea who's going to come out on top. I think it's between those two teams for sure, though.
To see either Dale Jr. win it,
mm-hmm.
Gordon would be okay. Kevin Harvick, who's got two wins, going to a new team, has got a good shot at it. I mean, if I look at the top 16 right now, I think the ones that might not make it would be like the A.J. Allmendinger or one of the bottom guys that didn't make it on points. Ryan Newman might have a tough time with it.
You know, I think a lot of those drivers have been looking for their first win of the season, period. So I'm hoping and praying that there's going to be some kind of a surprise right away, you know, so it could lock them into the next step. I mean, how fun would that be to see one of the underdogs win right away?
That would be great because you're the only ones in the race, in the chase without a win at Biffle, Kenseth, who after winning seven last year, which is surprising that he doesn't have one this year.
I know.
And Newman.
Mm-hmm.
Remember like Seinfeld, you know, Newman? Did you ever watch Seinfeld?
No, I would love to see one of those guys get a win right off the bat, especially Matt Kenseth. You know, that's a driver, he's been so consistent all season, shocked still that he didn't have a win. And he was locked in already, but, you know, it would be nice to see him capture a win, especially when it counts so much more right now.
Yeah, that's the time to get it. I mean, it's good that he got in on points, but having at least one win under his belt would have ensured it. And there's also his teammate Kyle Busch, who basically wins everything in the Nationwide Series, but only has one win in the Cup Series this year.
I know. He has had a little bit of a rough few weeks in the Sprint Cup Series. So, I mean, I think all the teams are going to be gearing up. You can see it in their intensity as they start talking about the chase and how much it would mean to them to get a win. I had an interview with Dale Jr., and he was talking about it, about the team just gearing up for it. And I think the intensity between everyone is going to just be times a million that it's been in the past few weeks. So, I don't know.
Yeah, now there's a game I think NASCAR is playing where it's kind of like the March Madness pool where you get to pick who's going to win.
Yeah. Well, on NASCAR.com, if you fill out a perfect grid or something, you can get $100,000 or something. Like, oh my goodness, everyone's going to start betting on these kinds of things now.
That's what you need. That's how you draw fans to the sport. That's the only reason why people watch college football. Is it fun? No, they got money on the games.
Yeah, because they have all their brackets and everything themselves.
Right. The March Madness for college basketball, it's all betting, and that's something NASCAR really never had. So now they found a way that maybe they could create a championship pool. I know when I used to live up in Jersey before I moved down here, I'm down here in southwestern Virginia, about 90 miles from Bristol, so about 3 hours from Charlotte.
Gotcha.
And we used to have a work pool. It was a NASCAR pool. We used to pick the winners every week. I'd always come in second for some strange reason. I'd always go into a losing streak the last couple of weeks. And at least I got some money out of the deal, but, you know, not a big thing.
Second isn't too bad,
Yeah, but then hosting a show and trying to pick winners every week based on past performances, it's kind of tough.
It really is, yeah.
Now, are you headed out to Chicago, or you have another week off gearing up? Because you didn't get to go to Richmond this time.
No, I was so upset about that because that's one of the tracks that I really would love to go to. But we have kind of a rotating schedule, so I will be in Chicago, which I'm really excited about. I've never been to Chicago at all, so we're staying in the city and getting to be immersed in all of the chase festivities leading up to it. There's going to be a lot of events going on in the area. It should be a really exciting time.
You'll have to try the pizza because everybody says they make that deep dish that's supposed to be really good, and coming from our area, you know how good the pizza is there.
Yeah, I'm kind of a pizza snob, I'm realizing, since I moved to Charlotte. Pizza and hoagie snob.
Definitely pizza and hoagie snob. You think it's bad there? Here in the middle of nowhere, it's even tougher.
Oh, no. You should just make your own.
My wife, she made it in a cast iron pan. It was a white pie with spinach, tomato, and mozzarella. Oh, yum.
Oh, my goodness. See, that's all you need.
And she never tried it in a cast iron pan before, but it cooked the dough up real nice, had a nice crispness to it. And this was, we didn't make the dough. We just bought the stuff. It was Walmart brand. It wasn't bad, a little sweet. They got, you know, that and the seafood out here in the middle of nowhere. That's something you had to have to head east to the coast.
Yeah, it's interesting going to all of the different parts of the country and, you know, what their specialties are for food or, you know, things that you need to visit. That's been a fun part of exploring all of the different cities where all the tracks are located.
Good news is you'll get to go to Dover, and you'll get to see it from the inside instead of the outside. You have everybody trying to ask you for tickets and things back home with the family?
Well, my family is so large. You know, I have 48 first cousins, and so my mom is from a family of 12 kids. My dad is from a family of 7 kids. So I do have a lot of people who are obsessed with it now and want to support me in every way. So I try to get some tickets and get my parents hot passes when it's, like, close to home because it's fun to experience this kind of a world and job with your family.
It is. I mean, your family's bigger than mine, and I'm Italian.
We're an Irish Jersey family, so.
Yeah, I think.
There's usually a lot of us.
For sure. Well, it should be interesting how this is going to play out, and I was glad that you chose to come on the show because I think your handler's always put up to see who's there. Now that I know you're a homie, hopefully I can just request you every time. Hopefully you'll come back on.
Oh, my gosh, of course. Yes, we can talk about South Jersey.
We could talk about everything, and definitely glad to finally meet you like this. Now to get out to a race and meet you in person and take a few pictures and put them up on the Garage Talk Live site. So good luck this
absolutely
year.
Absolutely.
Thank
you.
Hopefully you'll stay with the team for a while because I think Kim's the longest member of Miss Sprint Cup family to date right now.
Yeah, she's been doing this for 4 years, so I think we have a pretty good team dynamic right now. Madison and Kim have been so incredible, you know, showing me the ropes and kind of being good role models for me in the sport and with the job too. So I'm hoping us three stay together for a little while.
Well, I guess it should. All the depends on how long. I don't know how it works. Like you're new, and the girl that replaced you, she was in her second year, and all of a sudden she decided to leave. I guess you got a better offer. Sometimes you know can't turn down the bucks. But
I have no idea. But I'm just thankful that I was given the opportunity because it's been just a whirlwind, amazing experience. I love the job.
Well, how did that work? You sent in a headshot, I'm sure, a little stuff of what you've done in your career, and next thing you know, did they call you up for an interview or audition? Or?
Yeah, I mean, it's like any other job. It's just as extensive. You know, we all have to have bachelor's degrees in this kind of concentrated study. And so I sent in a video of me talking about NASCAR and Sprint, and my professional resume ended up going for an interview. And then the next month I was moved here and in training to get started with the season. So,
well, that's pretty good to call you up and say, hey, move to Charlotte. You're hired. You got to train.
I was like, okay, fine. Sure.
Hopefully, I guess it kind of makes it tough buying a house somewhere. You know?
I'm not buying a house yet. I'm renting an apartment because I didn't know anyone in the area at all, whether I'd be related to them or even friends. So I've been kind of exploring and meeting new people here, but it was a fast turnaround, that's for sure.
How do you like the area coming from Northeast? I find it nice and refreshing down south. A lot less crazy.
Yeah, no, I love it. There's a lot more transplants than I thought. So, you know, I thought I was moving to the south and not going to fit in at all. But there's a lot of people from the Northeast, and it's a little bit of a slower pace of life. Everyone is very, very nice. I always still miss my South Jersey people, but it is refreshing, as you said.
Well, the good news is, see, as a homeowner, what you save a lot of money in? Taxes. I went from New Jersey, where I was story house on a little 125 by 125 lot in Washington Township, which is a high-tax area. So is Haddon Township, I'm sure. So They're probably comparable. $7,200 a year.
Oh, my goodness.
I moved to this little town in southwest Virginia called Bastion between Withville and Bluefield. 8 1/3 acres, surrounded by national forest. I'm paying $1,000 a year.
Oh, my gosh, that is crazy.
Like, if you ever wanted to get away from everything just for peace and quiet, give me a call.
Oh, my gosh. No, it is interesting when you look at it in that way, because my sister is obsessed with the housing market, and, you know, that's one of the things that she researched before I moved here. And she's like, I think we're all going to move there when you compare, you know, cost of living as a whole.
Oh, it's great down here. It's fortunately, the price of gasoline, right where I'm at, is about the same where it was when I was home. So I pretty much broke even there. Taxes, I have saved money making a killing. And I have a lot of ground and critters that show up, like bears and deer.
Oh, my gosh.
Foxes. I'm going to send you a Facebook request, and you can check out my pictures. I have bear on my deck, some foxes on my deck.
Wow.
And I'm just taking a picture of them out the back door. Click.
That's incredible.
It's pretty nice
and
quiet. But anyway, wow, we spend a lot of time together. All, and that's just talking about stuff like that. It's a pleasure to meet you. I'm glad you're a homie.
I know. It's nice talking to people who kind of come from the same area and also have the same interests. So.
What did you do when they said, do you want to go on this radio show? It's called Garage Talk Live. Let me know. I got to tell the guy.
No, I get the schedule, and we do lots of call-in.
Yeah, I'm sure you do, but what the hell? Give this one a shot. Hopefully it's one you like doing, and hopefully you'll come back.
Absolutely. I would love that. It's been nice talking to you.
All right. Well, I'll request you next time, and we could always have a fun time and kill a quick half hour.
Perfect. Sounds good to me.
All right. You have fun in the chase. You're going to have a lot of fun, especially when you get to go to Vegas after that for the banquet. That ought to be neat, too. And
I know.
We'll get you back on the chase progresses, maybe after the second round of eliminations, I guess race six. How does that sound? I'll send a shout out.
Sounds good to me.
All right. It's a pleasure meeting you. You have fun in the chase, and keep up the good work for Sprint. And as Miss Sprint Cup, enjoy your rookie season, and we'll be talking to you.
Thank you. Have a nice week.
You too. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
There you have Miss Sprint Cup, Juliana White, who took over for Brooke Werner. Now we'll go out to talk about the race in Chicagoland and the race won. And we have a good run. Let's see who I think's going. We got the mile and a half, so it should be a good race for a bunch of people. Seems like everybody in the chase is pretty much finished in the top 10, except for the eighth and ninth spot. Kenseth, Kyle Busch, Harvick, Kurt Busch, Jimmy Johnson, Gordon, Brad Kay. Ryan Newman is the 10th man in. The only two not in the chase in the top 10 were Stenhouse and Clint Bowyer. And this is from last year's chase race. I'm not going by the race earlier in the year. So what I'm going to do to make my pick is I'm going to pick Matt Kenseth. I think he's going to get the win this year. So we'll go to pick Matt Kenseth to win, get his first win of the season, and that should be an edge that he needs. So hope you enjoyed the show tonight. Special thanks to my guest, Alexis DeJuria, who's on a championship quest for the NHRA Funny Car Division and starting her journey as a Miss Sprint Cup, Juliana White. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you all next week. Good night and good racing. Bye now.